deep in the heart of flyover country, this is Spin Sold Separately. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone, and welcome back to Spin Sold Separately. I am JD. A very sincere happy Thanksgiving week and Thanksgiving Day to you and your family and your friends and whoever you will be spending this incredibly special holiday with. I hope that absolutely zero of you have taken the advice of the legacy media folk and uninvited anyone from your Thanksgiving celebration because of the way they did or did not vote in this past election. I do feel very, very bad for the number of people that are going to be sitting around a largely empty table this year because they've been told that that's what they need to do. They've been told they need to disown their family and not invite them over and not have them over because there's a higher standard that needs to be kept and that family is not entitled to your time. And all of this stuff is just, it's so vile. It's so anti-family. It's anti-human. It's anti-everything I was taught growing up. I'll tell you that much. I am among the most fortunate people on the planet because I enjoy the luxury of a very tight-knit family that we're here for each other. We don't all see eye to eye on politics. And you know what? Who gives a crap? Certainly not us. But we're here for each other. We support each other. We cheer for each other. We spend time with each other. Pizza Saturday nights and Viking games on Sundays and holidays and just family gatherings sometimes just for the hell of it. Birthdays, holidays, Christmas, Thanksgiving. We even have a family vacation that we take every year, most of us together to the same resort. And we spend a week at the lake, just us. Just our family and a couple of very, very close friends. And we spend that time together because we are that close. I know not every family is fortunate enough to be able to claim that. I understand that that's not universal because, yes, family relationships can be difficult. They can be challenging. They can be tough to navigate. And certainly some family dynamics make that harder than others, but I am grateful to have been born into a family that was like that growing up and has not changed a bit. We spend every single holiday, every family dinner we can. We will make up a reason to get together if it's been too long. And I hope at least on some level that you are fortunate enough to have a family or a group of very, very tight-knit friends like that in your life, because honestly, I don't know what I'd do without it. It's such a part of who I am and always has been that I don't know what life would be like without it. And personally, I don't care to find out because I love what I have and I wouldn't trade it for anything. I don't have a whole lot of script or notes to go off here today. I've just got some random thoughts I wanted to get out here and give you one more podcast to listen to as you're on your way to your aunt and uncles or your parents or your kids or your cousins or wherever it is you're celebrating Thanksgiving, whether you're driving, flying, staying home. Wanted to give you something extra to listen to. I certainly am looking forward to a nice long weekend here with a lot of football. I think there's even football on Friday this year, as if the NFL hasn't taken over enough. Well, they gotta get a swipe at Black Friday too, I guess. Can't argue with the money machine that the NFL is. My goodness, everything they touch turns to gold. So far be it from me to complain. If it's another day that I get to watch NFL football, yeah, I'm okay with that. A couple of funny things that have come up. Apparently, a couple of our favorite MSNBC hosts were visited by the ghost of Election Future. You all are very familiar with my, I would call it an unhealthy level of disdain for Joe Scarborough. He's in the news again. I don't know if you've seen this, but apparently Joe Scarborough is the Ebenezer Scrooge of political talk shows. Right after Trump was elected and the legacy media was looking around wondering who to blame, Joe Scarborough and his co-host slash wife, I believe they're married, Mika Brzezinski, decided, you know what, it's time to go into the lion's den. And out of really nowhere, at least according to their viewers, however many of them are left, they decided to go down to Mar-a-Lago and spend a weekend, not this past weekend, but the weekend before, with Donald Trump. You know, Hitler, you know, the one who's going to end our democracy and never leave office and, you know, basically tear the country apart. You know, that guy, at least according to them. Yeah, they thought that, you know, once that election was completely ironclad and Trump won and it wasn't going to change and there was nothing to really argue about. Well, they took it upon themselves to reach out to the guy that they've been calling Hitler and wanting to put in jail for the last 8 years and went down and visited him. And they came back after that weekend, and not today, but last Monday, and I'm getting all of this third person because I can't watch him. I can't watch him. He just looking at him makes me angry. Just to think about the degree to which he has deceived his viewers and ruined families, and I mean, we've been over all of that, but I can't even stand to look at him. So I'm getting all this third person. So if I mix up a detail, I apologize in advance, but this is all out there to go and review. It's all over YouTube. It's all over X. He and Mika come out on Monday and disclose to this far, far, uber left-wing audience of theirs that they went and spent the weekend down at Mar-a-Lago with Donald Trump, a.k.a. Adolf Hitler. And, you know, if I didn't know what I already know about them, that they will test the wind and they will go whatever the direction that wind blows. If it's in the direction of power, they'll do whatever they can to stay nestled up to the most powerful people on earth. Look no further than how they've talked about Joe Biden for the last 4 years. So in a vacuum, I would applaud them for what they did. They didn't do the, oh, don't talk to these people, pretend they don't exist, they're vile, they're beneath us, you know, hashtag resistance. They didn't do that. They went and wanted to try to rekindle their relationship. And again, if this was almost anybody else, I might lend it a shred of credence and legitimacy. But color me skeptical. I don't feel like they're doing this for the right reasons. I think they're doing it because they like to be close to power. And Joe Biden's going to be out of office in a couple of months here. Kamala didn't win despite their most sincerest efforts to get her over the finish line. I don't think it's sincere. I don't think it's sincere at all. I applaud the effort to try to talk to the other side, to maybe understand that, well, no, half the country isn't Nazis. Half the country isn't racist. Let's figure out why there is such widespread and diverse support for this man. And again, if they hadn't spent the last 8 years calling him Hitler and wanting him in jail and barely acknowledging that he was almost killed on stage live on national television, I would applaud them for their efforts. But there is no other piece of evidence off of which to base any opinion of them other than they're just chasing power. But anyway, so they go and do this. Obviously, the ratings at MSNBC... And part of this is expected. I don't want to dump on them unfairly. Their side obviously lost. They lost the presidency, they lost the Senate, and they failed to regain power in the House. So, obviously, that means their ratings, MSNBC's specifically, are going to take a hit. That's not unusual. The same thing happened to Fox in 2020 when Trump lost, and you know, people are bitter. People are mad. You know, your side loses. You don't want to talk or hear or think about politics for a good long while. So part of this was to be expected. But their ratings took a huge hit that first week after Trump won. So they thought, let's try a little bit of a different approach. The old, you know, Hitler, Hitler, Hitler doesn't seem to be working. So they tried something different. And oh, the reaction almost across the board for different reasons, but the reaction across the board has been absolutely awful. First, of course, nobody on the right thinks that their sudden willingness to reach out across the aisle and maybe table the Nazi discussion for a little while nobody on the right is buying that. So they all think it's BS. And then on the left, they're basically calling them traitors. Because let's face it, who is watching the MSNBC morning show if not the uber progressive far left slash those that hate Donald Trump? They just hate him with the burning fire of a thousand suns. That's basically their audience. Well, it turns out that the endlessly accepting and endlessly tolerant progressive left is not okay with anybody on their side going into the lion's den for any other purpose than to kill the lion. And the fact that Joe and Mika went down there in, even if it was fake, this was what they called it, even if it was in an effort to repair what had become a very broken relationship, because back in 2015, 2016, Trump was on that show so much, he was calling it, people were talking, I forgot about this, people were talking about Joe Scarborough as a possible running mate for Donald Trump. Now, talk about if you had fallen asleep in 2015 and woke up in 2023 or 2024. to hear the difference in how he was treated on that show then as compared to now, I mean, it's like it's two separate people. But anyway, I digress. Apparently, their audience is not okay with them trying to reach out, and they called it talking to instead of just talking about Donald Trump, which again, in a vacuum, that sounds great. If it was anybody else, I would applaud it. It's them, so I'm still going to spit on it. But even their viewers, oh God, even their viewers basically called them traitors for trying to basically hit the reset button. If we're going to be, you know, we're stuck with Trump for another 4 years. Hey, he's pretty good for ratings. Let's try to reach out and see if we can mend a couple of bridges here. Well, their viewership wasn't a fan, and their ratings have tanked now to the point where their show, I believe it was last Wednesday, I heard this on Megan's show today, was the lowest ratings they've ever had in the history of their morning show. Because even the uber progressives are pissed off at them now because they violated the cardinal rule. You don't ever talk to the other side. You don't reach out. You don't try to understand. You don't try to bridge any gaps. You just no. You go the other way. You hate, you disown, you insult, you ridicule, you mock. You don't ever reach out a hand to make everything okay. That's just not something that uber far left is interested in. And they're making it very clear. So Joe and Mika just running in circles, trying to figure out which way the wind is blowing. And it turns out when you're in the middle of a whirlwind, you can't really pinpoint where the wind's coming from, which is why following the winds of politics or anything in life for that matter is a bad idea. Have your ideals, have the things you believe in and stick with them, preach them and don't ever abandon them. Joe and Mika are the poster children for trying to play the wind. But like I say, when you're in a hurricane like they are right now, it doesn't really matter where the wind's coming from. You're just going to get blown over. And that's what's happening. And that's what's happening to them right now. Can't say I'm not getting a little satisfaction out of it with the absolute vileness that came out of their mouths. I mean, leading up to the election, it was so over the top. But we'll see how that all plays out. And speaking of the election, I just checked this just today. It is Monday, November 25th. Election day was Tuesday, November 5th. We are 20 days since the election. There are two California House races that are still not called. It's so unbelievable. It is so unbelievable. California, I'm sorry, when it takes you 3 weeks to count ballots and you elect vacuous, amoral reptiles like Adam Schiff by overwhelming majorities, I reserve the right to mock you. And I will exercise that right with whatever frequency I desire. Oh, by the way, they elected 83-year-old, corrupt as the day is long, Nancy Pelosi with 81% of the vote in her district. 81%. Oh, California. Oh, yeah. California is the home of Eric Swalwell, too. You know who that is? You remember him, the congressman that had sex with the Chinese spy, who probably did more to damage our national security than the other 434 members of Congress combined? Yeah, he was reelected with 68% of the vote. You know what, Democrats, California especially, I don't ever want to hear one word from you about character mattering. You know, they're going after Pete Hegseth with everything they've got because, oh, character matters all of a sudden. I'm sorry. When you employ such people as Nancy Pelosi, who's made herself rich beyond her wildest comprehension via inside information on her stock trades, and then you've got Adam Schiff, who went on TV for 2.5 consecutive years and lied about Russian collusion, and then you've got Eric Swalwell, who Lord knows what he gave up to that spy in the most vulnerable of moments. I'm sorry, when you are electing these people with majorities that are impossible to comprehend, I don't want to hear you talk about character when it comes to Trump, Trump's cabinet appointments, or anything else for that matter. You have nothing to say about character when you're electing people like Adam Schiff and Eric Swalwell. I'm not interested in your take on character. And California, by the way, it's descending further and further into just an unrecognizable progressive hellhole. And it's only getting worse. Look at these House races. It's just asinine. Like I said, two races still haven't been called. The ones that have been called, there are 52 representatives from California. They have 52 House seats. And plus their two senators, they have 54 electoral votes. 52 representatives. Two haven't been decided. 50 have. It is 41-9, Democrat versus Republican. And one of those seats flipped because, you know, 40-10 wasn't one-sided enough. One of those seats actually flipped from Republican to Democrat in this cycle. And most of these Democrats were elected by 60, in some cases, 70% of the vote or more. Like I said, Nancy Pelosi, 83 years old, she almost matched her age in her percent of the vote, 81%. Some of these Democrats, they didn't even have to run against Republicans. They ran against other Democrats. This isn't healthy. And oh, by the way, neither is California. Their cities are increasingly dumps. Their homelessness is completely out of control. There's no diversity of thought whatsoever throughout that state. They're facing a budget deficit of $68 billion next year. One state, their budget deficit projected for next year is $68 billion. They're citing, quote, revenue shortfalls. This despite having the third highest state income tax rate and the highest sales tax rate in the country. Revenue shortfalls, which translated means we didn't take enough of your money. Over 600,000 people have left the state in the last 4 years. That's net, not gross. Their population has dropped by almost 600,000. And that's not because the weather got less desirable or the Pacific coastline got any less gorgeous. People are finally starting to realize they don't have to put up with policies that take over half of their income. They don't have to put up with these far left policies and the dysfunction that they obviously create. Incidentally, the top 10 for highest income state income tax rates, all blue. Deep blue at that. At some point in the future here, maybe sooner than later, we're going to do a deep dive on California versus Florida because they are polar opposites of each other, despite their geographic similarities. Their politics have pushed them to basically to opposite ends of the spectrum. And their respective governors are likely to be major players in our national politics for years to come. So I think it's important that we do a straight up comparison on those two states because I think Gavin Newsom, governor of California, and Ron DeSantis, governor of Florida, I think they're going to be around for a long time in our national politics. They're young. They are popular among their respective parties. They're going to be around for a long time. Random thing that popped into my head the other day. This has nothing to do with anything, but you've probably noticed. Oh, you know, this is, what is this, episode 11 now? My goodness. And I thank you all again for being a part of this and helping this thing grow. This is so much fun. I cannot thank you guys enough. But something just popped into my head. You guys have probably figured out that there are certain things that really trigger my rage. You can pick up by the cadence in my voice how angry I am about a certain subject I may be talking about. I've narrowed it down to the three H's. I have three H's that trigger my rage. Number one is hyperbole. It's acting like everything is the worst ever, worst possible, best ever, best pot. I told you from the start, I don't use words like always, never. So much of our political discourse has become hyperbole. And I would say that Donald Trump is guilty of hyperbole. Like I've said, he speaks in superlatives a lot. But I don't know. He does it in an endearing way. He does it in a way where he's not lying about the premise of his argument. He might just be fluffing it with some hyperbole and making something sound better than it was. Like, he's not lying about the actual issue. You know, if he's talking about the border, our border is terrible. We got all kinds of people coming in here. And, you know, instead of saying it's somewhere between 7.5 and 20 million, you know, he'll say something like 100 million people. He just gives so much fodder to his critics because he starts at the truth, you know, bringing up an issue that needs to be talked about, but very quickly veers off into superlative land. And, you know, it's just giving ammunition to his opponents. Verbal ammunition, that is. He's never been very good about throwing out exact figures. Anyway, so yeah, too much hyperbole out there. That's one thing that'll get me going. Number two, this is going to come as no surprise to anybody after listening to my teardown of my very favorite politician in all of American government, Chuck Schumer. It'll surprise nobody that H number two is hypocrisy. This is the one that probably gets me going more than anything, because our legacy media is 100% guilty of it. A lot of our politicians are guilty of it. Hypocrisy, double standards, holding one group to one set of expectations while holding another group to a completely different set of expectations. Rules apply to one side, but not to the other. We'll make excuses for one side, not for the other. Very, very few things get my blood going like hypocrisy. And oh boy, our political climate is swimming in hypocrisy. And the third H is hysteria. And this is another thing our legacy media has been very, very guilty of. Talking about, I mean, comparing Trump to Hitler, that's hysterical. Talking about Nazis and comparing a rally at Madison Square Garden, drawing a direct connection between that and a Nazi rally in 1939, that's hysterical. That's so illogical on so many levels. You wonder how somebody even gets there. How do you wake up in the morning and decide, you know what? Nothing else seems to be getting through. I know. I've got it. They're having a rally at Madison Square Garden. Let's go back and look to see what horrible things have happened in Madison Square Garden over the last 100 years. And let's just draw a straight line through to that. You know, who comes up with this crap? It's hysterical. Saying Trump's never going to leave office. Saying Trump's going to use the military on his political opponents. He's just going to tariff everything and create endless inflation. It's all hysteria. It's all just meant to whip people up into frenzies. And apparently it works. Thankfully, it's working less and less. But so anyway, those are my three H's. Hyperbole, hypocrisy, and hysteria. And I would give honorable mention to habitual liars. Couldn't get that to fit in one word, but habitual liars. Yes, looking at you, Chuck Schumer. So, but that was a little honorable mention. But those are my three H's that trigger my rage, if you haven't figured them out already. It just kind of popped up. And look no further than the title of my show, Spin Sold Separately. I like alliteration. Well, my three H's of rage: hyperbole, hypocrisy, and hysteria. There you go. Oh, let's see. What else do we got here before we break for the Thanksgiving week? Little more news on the cabinet appointments for Trump. I am not familiar with any of the names that came out today. There's a lot of, I don't know what word I want to use for this. Pete Hegseth appears to be a pretty bad husband. I believe he is on wife number 3. There is all kinds of infidelity in his past. He doesn't seem to be a great relationship partner. Let's put it that way. I'm sure by now you've heard about the police report that is out there about what happened with him and a woman at some kind of Republican women's conference that he was speaking at, I believe back in 2017. This woman has accused him of rape. That is the police report, and this is all out there. The Department of Justice has investigated this thoroughly and has decided not, I mean, and this is not recent, this is years ago, has decided not to pursue charges because they have decided that this particular witness is possibly not telling the truth, and they're not going to go after someone for rape if, you know, the story just doesn't add up. And Megyn Kelly did a great deep dive on this. She has an hour-long special that I believe she posted on Friday, really breaking this case down. I mean, going through in graphic detail the police report, the witness statements, and just kind of bringing this whole thing together, because surprise, surprise, the legacy media is not reporting fairly on this. Now, it's a serious charge that does need to be talked about and obviously will come up at length when his hearings begin in the Senate. Of course, the legacy media cannot be trusted to just simply report the facts on this story. They have to selectively edit and selectively leave out certain things that don't necessarily fit their narrative, which is Pete Hegseth is a rapist and should, you know, he should be in prison, not in the cabinet. Well, I encourage you to go and listen to Megan's special, her hour-long special from Friday, that is completely dedicated to this case, because we all need to know who our Secretary of Defense is and what we can expect from him or her. And in this case, you know, this is important stuff to talk about. There's no one that wants this completely hidden or swept under the rug or not talked about. It deserves to be aired, and it deserves to be discussed, but it deserves to be discussed fairly. And the most important thing to note here is this encounter happened back in 2017. I believe the main investigation took place, I want to say it was a couple years ago. I don't remember the dates exactly, but it's not like it happened, you know, 4 weeks ago. This is all out there, and the police did not pursue charges for reasons that I think will become clear if you listen to Megan's special. So I encourage you to do that. Again, a lot of these other names I'm not real familiar with, but now every position has been nominated, and now we just wait on the Senate hearings, which I have a feeling these will be more interesting than most, between Tulsi, you know, the Russian asset, Tulsi Gabbard. Please. Hillary Clinton just spouts something off one day and just starts this complete phantom story about Tulsi Gabbard being some kind of Russian asset. Whatever, Hillary. Just go away. But between that and then Pete Hegseth with his issues and the left's newfound hatred for RFKJ, it's going to be a fiery nominating season. So that's something we'll keep a very close eye on, and I'm sure some fireworks will ensue that we will certainly be talking about as that time approaches. I apologize if you can hear my dogs in the background. We just adopted a second rescue dog. We've had one for a couple of years, and we had two for a while, but our older one, sadly, she passed away very unexpectedly earlier this year I think it was April. Only, you know, barely 7 years old. You know, God rest her soul. She was a good girl. But our second dog was a rescue, and now we just picked up another rescue from the same adoption agency. They were very good with us with the first one, and we built a little bit of a relationship with them. So we went back to them and just picked up another one. Well, she's got a heartworm issue, which she'll be fine, but the treatments for heartworm for a dog are I'm being told, very similar to cancer treatments for humans. Like they can work, you can recover from it, and you know the expectation is she's going to recover from this. But during the treatment, which is ongoing right now, it's about a 6-month regimen, you really can't let them be dogs. You can't let them run. You can't let them wrestle. You can't let them, you know, we have a nice big fenced backyard. We'd love to be able to just open up the door and let them go roughhouse for half an hour and wear each other out, but you can't do that right now when she's on this treatment. So we're probably a little over halfway through this treatment. And I got to tell you, trying to keep two young, energetic dogs from chasing each other, from running after each other, from wrestling with each other, it is no small task. And the amount of energy these two poor animals have pent up right now, it's hard to contain. But the struggle is real. These two are just so dang cute, and they get along so well. I mean, they get along right from the very first day. They acted like they'd known each other for years. It was wonderful. But you can probably hear them in the background because they are just two big energy balls that just have no means of releasing the tension. So they're making their presence known. They say Happy Thanksgiving too. And speaking of Thanksgiving, I mentioned on the last show, I was thinking of doing a little salute to Rush Limbaugh and talking about the first Thanksgiving. And then yesterday I had a few minutes of downtime and I searched it because, like I said, Rush would always do, you know, a show right before Thanksgiving where he talked about the first Thanksgiving and the true meaning of it and how it came to be. And I listened to it. It was about 15 minutes long. There is no way I could do it any justice. So I want to ask each and every one of you, you know, when this podcast is done or the next time you're able to, take out your phone, search Rush Limbaugh Story of Thanksgiving, and, you know, you're going to get a bunch of different results. I watched a YouTube video, I think it was 14 minutes and 22 seconds, and I was almost in tears after it, not just because, you know, we miss Rush and everything he brought to the industry, everything he brought to radio, everything he did to challenge the liberal orthodoxy that had taken over media before him. Before him, there was nothing. If you wanted something that was not, you know, at the time, mainstream media and the left-leaning that they openly held, you really didn't have anything. Rush broke that glass and set the stage for everything that has happened since, all the way right down to little old me in this tiny little podcast here that I just started a month and a half ago. I could never do it any justice. It was, like I said, just under 15 minutes. It is so worth your time, especially with, you know, how angry people have gotten over the last few years, this bizarre sector of our population that is just anti-American and we're the bad guys and look at how horrible we are. We were founded on this, that, and the other horrible thing. And you know what? Go listen to Rush. It'll give you something positive and uplifting to think about and talk about as we get closer to the Thanksgiving holiday. So I'm not going to try to do that. I could never do it any justice. All I ask of you is to take 15 minutes of your time and go listen to 15 minutes. So, so well worth your time. You know, like I said, I'm trying to do this without any notes this time. I wanted to get something out before it got too late in the week here. And I absolutely know I'm forgetting something. I had like four things I wanted to talk about. I know I've hit three of them. Oh, the last, I don't think this is it, but for the first time in my life, I'm actually disappointed in Megyn Kelly, and it relates to Joe Scarborough, who I know we already talked about, but this was one detail I meant to fit in there that I forgot to bring up. So Joe and Mika go down to Mar-a-Lago, and of course, you know, they go on the air the next day and say what they did, and that very first day, Megyn comes out and like, Megyn comes out at the start of her show, basically, hashtag not buying it. She ripped them to pieces like she is wont to do and so good at doing. But you'll remember that when I went on my post-election rant because these people were on TV still lying, still demonizing Trump voters, still telling you to disown your family if they voted for Trump. And I said, I would love to see Joe Scarborough and Megyn Kelly sit down and have to debate the issues. Well, funny enough, as Megyn is talking about this whole, you know, Mar-a-Lago trip that those two went on, apparently not that long ago, she was scheduled, she had agreed to do some kind of debate. I don't know. She didn't get into where it was going to be or what network it was going to be on, whatever. She just said she had agreed to do this debate, and it was going to be against some guy, she didn't even name the person, who I guess had to back out. And then whatever this outfit was that was putting on this debate was replacing the first guy with Joe Scarborough. So like the title fight was already set. You know, Megan's already in. Yeah, sure, I'll do this. And then somebody else drops out on the other side, and it's going to be Joe Scarborough. She said as soon as she found out that Joe Scarborough was subbed in, she dropped out. And I, for just a split second, I was like, Megyn, come, you know, the world needs that. We all deserve to see you just rip him apart piece by piece and lie by lie. And you know what? She made a very good point, as she always does. She said, he's so disgusting and so dishonest, she wouldn't even share a debate table with him. And you know what? I can respect that. If someone has lowered themselves through their own behavior to the point that you don't even want to be associated with them, even for the purposes of ripping them up in a debate, okay, I can understand that. But I do have to admit, for a brief second, I was actually disappointed with my inspiration, Megyn Kelly. I still so wanted to see that. I mean, don't you just want to see an incredibly smart person in the middle, or in the middle, you know, center right, just go after one of these loony left-wing liars and just go point by point and just, I mean, basically punt them into next week on every single topic? I sure do. Man, the world would have loved to have seen that. But alas, it doesn't sound like it's ever going to happen, because she had an opportunity to do it, and it didn't sound like this was that long ago. It sounded like it could have happened, but Megyn said, no, I will not be in the same room, in the same debate, in the same broadcast as that slimeball. It sounds like we had a chance at the title fight, and the champ just said, it would be inhumane for me to destroy this person. It's not even a fair fight. So full credit to Megyn. She said no. As much as I would have loved to have seen it, I can respect her reasons for not engaging. At some point this weekend, I cannot guarantee what day, but our next episode is going to focus heavily on a couple of stories that are in the news right now. One of which is that absolutely disgusting story out of the Oregon school district with it. Apparently it wasn't just this one teacher that they were allowing to teach this whole school year so far while under investigation for sexual misconduct with students. Apparently he wasn't the only one. Apparently there are multiple members of staff or teachers in that school district. It is a story that will absolutely make your skin crawl, but it is so important that we highlight this stuff from these areas that have gotten so comfortable in their uniparty rule. And this is what can happen. And I am not saying that any political party or ideology is immune to this. But when you get so wrapped up in one line of thinking, and we are the moral superiors, and we are the intellectual superiors, and we are the right ones, and we have all the answers, man, your blind spots just grow and grow and grow. This is a case study in losing track of your blind spots and people really getting hurt, kids getting hurt. And even just thinking about this story, even though I haven't totally read up on it, I've read a couple of headlines and seen a couple of brief updates. It's making me angry just sitting here, even skimming the edges of this story. But we are going to get into this in much greater detail on the next show, because I cannot believe that this is real. This is such a just stomach turning story. We're going to wait till after Thanksgiving because we have a lot of things to be thankful for. We have an election that turned out the way it had to. I truly believe that this was a turning point. Not that it was the last election ever, none of that crap, but this really was a turning point. This was either we're gonna go more for the left's idea of classism and censorship and endless debt and high taxes and a very unfriendly business environment and government is the answer to everything, or we had Donald Trump's vision of this bureaucracy is out of control. We're going to gut it. We're going to keep what we need. We're going to improve what we keep. The rest of it is fair game. We are not going to discriminate. We're going to go after everything. We can't keep spending $2 trillion a year more than we take in. That's not sustainable. We're not going to keep letting our enemies take advantage of us and push us around and attack our allies. And you know, it was two very, very different visions on almost every front, on the border, on foreign policy, on domestic policy. America made the right choice. And here's an interesting tidbit before I let you go here and get on with your Thanksgiving weekend. I saw a stat today. I saw two stats. One said 60%. The other said 59%. So we're going to go with the conservative one here and say 59%. This is a new poll from CBS, no friend of the president-elect. 59% of respondents in this poll approve of Trump's transition so far. You know, between the stories and how he's conducted himself and the names he's put forward for these cabinet positions, 59%. Now, he got, you know, about 50.2% of the vote, give or take. So already he's at least gotten 10% of the people that did not vote for him to at least take a second look and go, oh, well, okay, I can get behind this. I kind of like that. And like I said, one or two shows ago, as someone in the middle, I look at how much Democrat representation there is in this cabinet, you know, if all of these posts go through. And I just say, Democrats, you're never going to get a Republican president to put three open, obvious Democrats, at least as of a couple years ago, not only in his circle, but in his cabinet. You're never going to see that. So thankfully, it looks like a not insignificant number of people that did not vote for Donald Trump are at least taking a look at what he's been doing since the election and the names he's put forth and say, you know what, there might be something here. So I think that's encouraging. I think the sentiment out there is just not the will to fight against him to the degree that so many different, whether it was the media or our institutions or whatever, you know, so much resistance to him in that first term. It just doesn't seem like there's the will out there to do that this time. And that probably has something to do with him winning the popular vote. At least last time they had the excuse of, well, he only won because of the Electoral College. The majority of people didn't want this. And I think they used that as fuel to keep that hate meter at the absolute apex of its capability. I mean, basically for the last 8 years. But this election, you know, yeah, 50 to 48 it's not a landslide, but the combination of him winning the popular vote and the electoral landslide that came with it. And now the cross-party appeal of the cabinet he's putting together, I think he's going about it the right way. I really do, and I'm so glad the country decided to go this way. And yeah, I mean, to already have an additional 10% of people looking at what he's done so far and saying, okay, I'll give it a chance, and saying they actually approve, I think that's a really good thing. I really, really do. So there's something else to be thankful for. Not only the fact that the election went the way I certainly wanted it to, and I'm sure most of you as well. Well, here we are. So we have that to be thankful for. Obviously, he's turning some heads, even of some people that didn't vote for him, so that's a good thing. I honestly cannot remember what that fourth thing was. I'm sure I'm going to think of it the minute I wrap this up and be like, God, that's what it was. I only thought about it all day long, and then I sit down at the microphone and totally draw a blank. But anyway, I don't think this was the fourth thing, but regarding the Schumer files, I went back and played it, and I know at least a couple of those sound bites were so quiet. They were barely audible. The first time I listened to it back, I listened to it in my personal vehicle, And it was fine. I could turn it up loud enough to hear, you know, a couple of those sound bites, not super loud, but loud enough to hear. Well, then when I was in a bit of a louder environment today, I could hear myself just fine. I couldn't hear a couple of those sound bites at all. So my apologies for that. I'm still learning how to tweak the volume on certain inputs here, and the board I'm using is not the highest quality on the market, but you know, if you had a hard time hearing some of those sound bites, try to listen to it in a quiet environment where you can turn your volume all the way up while the sound bite is playing, because God, there was some good stuff there. I hope the message got through. Even if you couldn't hear one or two of those sound bites, I really hope the message got through just how slimy and snaky that man is and why I feel the way I do about him in particular. So sorry about a couple of those not coming through as loud as I would have liked. But anyway, it's Thanksgiving week. You all have an amazing time with your families. I hope you get some time off. I am fortunate enough to have the Friday after Thanksgiving off. This is the first time in, I want to say, this might be the first time in my working life. I went from restaurant to retail to banking. And same with the job I have now. We've always been open and I've never had the seniority. But this year I have it off. This might be the first time in 30 years that I've had the Friday after Thanksgiving off. So I'm going to get up. You know, I'm still going to get up at 6 because my body just tells me that's what I have to do, whether I need to or not. But I'm going to get up on Friday. Have no plans on going anywhere, but going to make the family breakfast, some eggs, some bacon, some sausage. Have a nice breakfast, wait for some football games to come on, probably do some online shopping. Yes, I'm that guy. I do miss the old mall experience, you know, not necessarily on Black Friday, but during the Christmas season, I do miss the old mall experience where it was packed and Christmas carols playing, you know, on the loudspeakers and Santa's there with his elves and families all over the place and people walking out with 9 shopping bags from 9 different stores. Yeah, I do miss that. And thankfully, in our little mall here, I think we're one of the few left that actually, you know, most of the storefronts are full. So that still does happen a little bit here in my hometown, but a couple of malls in the areas that I frequent that are just, they're 3/4 empty. And it's just kind of a sad reminder of, you know, something that I think was an overall good for our society that just it's just going by the wayside because times have changed and people don't largely shop the same way. And anyway, I'll be doing a lot of online shopping, as nostalgic as I am about the old mall experience during the holiday season, at least for this Friday, not so much. Might find my way to the mall one of these weekends before we get to Christmas, but we're going to talk several times between now and then. So thank you so much for tuning in. Have an amazing time with your friends and your family, and don't think about politics for a second. Think about food. Think about football. Think about family. 3 F's. There you go. More alliteration. If you are traveling, safe travels. If you are not, enjoy every second. Don't take any of this time with the people you love for granted. I know I certainly won't. I can't wait. We're going to have an amazing time, and I hope you do too. I do just want to say a few things about Thanksgiving and just mention a few things that I am grateful for and that I am thankful for and that I will be taking time to reflect on this Thanksgiving season. I am endlessly thankful for my family. I am endlessly in debt to God for my children, my amazing daughter, my amazing son. They are absolutely everything to me, and thankful doesn't even begin to describe it. If you're a parent, I'm sure you understand exactly what I mean. There is no love in this life like a parent's love for their child. And for those of you that have not yet experienced that, I certainly hope you get to someday. It is not possible to put into words the love that a parent has for their child. I am endlessly thankful for the friendships I have built, the true, really good friends that I have out there, and you know who you are. I am thankful that you put up with my idiosyncrasies I have a bit of a personality where for every vibe I give off that draws people in, I probably give off two that drive people away. But I am sincerely grateful for the friends I have had, some of them my entire life. Like I said, you know who you are. You all mean so much to me, and I don't say it enough. Most people don't say it enough. I had a conversation with somebody recently just about friendships, that friendship isn't about quantity. Friendship is about quality. And if you can build three or four really good, durable friendships in your life that can weather the tough times and survive disagreements and share in each other's joys and help each other handle disappointments, and that's what really matters. It isn't having 78 friends on Snapchat. It isn't having followers on X or 600 Facebook friends. I mean, these aren't friends. When I use the word friend, I mean just what I described. Somebody that you have built a relationship with that has survived some difficult times when maybe relationships that weren't quite as strong wouldn't have survived. I am so deeply thankful for the relationships, the friendships that I have built over my 46 years, and you know who you are. I'm grateful that I fell into a job that keeps my heat on, keeps my lights on, helps me dote upon my children every once in a while. I drive a decent vehicle. I live in a decent house in a nice neighborhood. I'm thankful for all that. I've worked for it. My wife and I, we've worked for it. Nothing was ever given to us. We've earned every bit of what little we have. And I'm thankful for what we have. I'm thankful for the journey that has brought us here, how much we've learned over all these years. I'm grateful for the struggles. I'm grateful for the successes. Everything that has brought us to where we are right now as parents of two outstanding children, and just watching them grow and spread their wings and try to navigate this world that is not as kind to them as it should be, and that hopefully it will be again someday soon. I'm thankful for even the little things. I'm thankful for my pets, the way my dogs nestle up to me at night, and their undying loyalty and their love for us. Just even the little things, my favorite music, my favorite movies that give me joy, and you know, my love of sports that helps me disconnect from some of the things going on in life that maybe aren't so great. When you need a decompression, when you need a place to escape to, sports has done that for me. You know, there's a part of me that childlike fandom of my Vikings, my Wild, my Timberwolves, my Twins, you know, that never grew up. And I'm thankful that it didn't. Sometimes you need that release, that just mindless turn on the TV and watch, you know, one of your favorite sports, your favorite teams, play a game and get lost in it for a few hours. It's been very therapeutic to me over the years. And I hope you have if it isn't sports, I hope you have a similar way to kind of get away from it all and just disconnect for a little while. But with Thanksgiving just a couple of days away here, I want everyone in my life to know how important they are to me. I want people to know that they are cared about, that they are thought about, that they are loved, and that there are people in their lives that really care about them and whose lives would not be the same if they were not around. I know this life can be difficult. I know there can be struggles that can beat you down, but know that there are people out there that love you and care about you and just want to see you keep moving forward. Just take another step. You know, even if you're going through a hard time or a really difficult struggle, just keep putting one foot in front of the other. And know that there are people out there whose lives you have forever made better just by being a part of them. I wish you all the most sincere, happy Thanksgiving. Please enjoy every minute that you can with your family, your friends, whoever you will be spending this holiday with. None of this is guaranteed. It can be taken from us in the blink of an eye. Don't ever take it for granted. The people that you're going to see over the next few days, none of that's guaranteed. Don't worry about politics. Don't worry about who voted for who. These are people we know and love that know and love us. Don't ever take it for granted, because our time on this earth is short and life can change in the blink of an eye. And you don't want to be left with any regret that the last time you spent with somebody wasn't all that maybe it could have been or should have been. Enjoy this time. Enjoy the food. Enjoy the laughs. Enjoy the football, if that's your thing. Certainly is mine. We'll catch you on the other side of the Thanksgiving holiday. Hopefully I'll get another show out this weekend sometime. Until then, have a great time. This has been Spins Sold Separately. I am JD. Don't be a jerk. Happy Thanksgiving. And I'll talk to you next time.